The tournament is here. BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for this season, with the best bracket contest out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices, and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Tiger fans, welcome back to another episode of Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. I am the Corey C. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and turn on those notifications. We don't want you to miss out on a single upcoming episode. You can always find us on YouTube, the Apple Podcast app, the Spotify app, wherever you get your podcast. So be sure to follow the show and tell every Tiger that you know. And remember, when you support Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club, it all helps the cause, which is the I love Jackson State University. And we are back with a very special guest. She covers UConn women's hoops for Hearst Connecticut Media Group, none other than Maggie Winone. Welcome to Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to do this and talk to you guys.
Oh, it's a pleasure. We're so happy to have you. I know it's a busy week. So how have things been going since that announcement on Sunday night?
It's been good. You put your foot to the pedal and you just go, and for the next three or weeks, at least, that's what you hope. And it might be 1 week. You never know. But it's the most wonderful time of the year, I say, with a little bit of sarcasm.
Absolutely. 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 So tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you been on the beat, and how'd you end up covering UConn coming all the way over from the West Coast?
Yeah, I West Coast born and raised. I will stand by the hill. I think it's the better coast. That's just my biased opinion. I moved out here in January 2021, and I started covering UConn in August 2021. So this is my third full season on the beat. It has been quite an up and down roller coaster these past 3 years. If you're aware, they've had a bizarre number of injuries to pretty much everybody. They've had historic streak snapped. They've had just ups and down roller coasters that were totally unexpected. So it's been quite a journey, but it is a really fun beat, and it's a really fun team. Even though they've had injuries, it's all the players are good people, and it's really fun to cover them.
Absolutely. So we want to hear all about this team, but let's take it back to the beginning. So of the season, at least. So had I told you before the season that despite being ranked number two in the AP preseason poll, this team would lose three of its first six games, that five players would go down at some point with season ending injuries, and at times the team would only dress 7 to 8 healthy players before game, and that Aaliyah Edwards would get injured in the first game of the Big East tournament, all while Paige Becker was trying to return from an ACL, torn ACL, but the team would still win the conference tournament and would be sitting here today with a three seed in the Big Dance. Would you have believed me?
If you'd asked me that in last June when they got everybody together to start preseason conditioning, I would have been, okay, that's a funny joke. Yeah, right. But the fact that you're asking me now in March, I am not surprised, just because the past 2 years they have had 10 out of 12 players go down with injury. You know, they've had, or at least I should rephrase that, they've had 10 out of 12 players miss at least one game or more due to injuries. They just had no break whatsoever. Whatever it is, it's been bizarre injuries, freak injuries, injuries that you really can't predict or see happening or prevent. I'm not surprised they won the Big East. I think UConn, you know, with Paige coming back, Paige plays at such a high level that she brings everybody else up with her. And her tag teaming with Aaliyah Edwards, before she got injured with her nose, they just are an unstoppable pair. And so I'm not surprised they kind of pulled through. I think it took a while, those first six games, to find their identity, because players kept dropping with injuries. And it's really hard as a new team to find your groove when one of your star players, AZ Fudd, goes down two games into the year, or when Caroline Ducharme comes out. they had started to find it a little bit end of December, and then Aubrey Griffin went down. And so they've had to reshape how they look multiple times, and they finally have found their groove. So I'm very excited to see how they shape up against non-Big East opponents, since that's majority of what they've been facing these past 2 months.
Talk a little bit more about Paige and her return to dominance and how she reintegrated herself into that lineup. She was just named the AP First Team All-American, again, coming off that ACL surgery, and it looks like she's back to her old self, or maybe even better than ever.
Yeah, I think she's playing probably her best basketball yet. You know, and I say that because she has, you know, one more year left at least. She's coming back for her fifth year. I don't think anyone doubted that she would come back tough and she would come back strong after her ACL injury, especially since the year before that she missed a good chunk of time with a different knee injury. So she was just itching to come back. And you could tell, you can see on her face that she just, you know, has found her joy again. She has much more appreciation for being healthy and being out there. And she's been dominant. You know, she's averaging what, a career high 21.3 points per game. She's not even playing her typical position, right? Her freshman year, she was the point guard, the lead floor general. And now she's this like point forward kind of duo position. She's kind of sliding into the four, but also still, you know, leading the offense. And her defense, like, you know, she's not the biggest player. She's long, but she's not the biggest, but she's blocking shots and making it look natural, right? She's defending under the basket and making it look like that's her typical normal position, and it's not. So I think she has just elevated her game across all stats and boards, because that's what her team needed. And I think because she's playing for the first time in so long and she's healthy, she's just thrived in that. And she's someone that definitely thrives in big moments. And this whole season has kind of been one big moment for her.
You talked about her playing multiple positions. We all remember her bursting onto the scene as a freshman and playing point guard. But as you said, since then, she's played pretty much every position except probably center. But just talk a little bit more about that versatility. What has that meant for the team? And more specifically, was that by choice or more out of necessity for the team?
Yeah, good question. It was definitely out of necessity. You know, with, I think, heading in, if you had asked them in June what they would have looked like, they probably wouldn't have had her in that four position, right? They would have had their redshirt freshman center, Jana Elofi, probably coming in as a center. They would have had Ayanna Patterson coming in as a forward. Unfortunately, both those players are out with season-ending injuries. So really, for the majority of the season, they've only had one true experienced big. That's Aaliyah Edwards. And they have a lot of guards. And, you know, Paige is the kind of talent that you can slide her over into kind of that, you know, I don't want to say gray area, but that gray area position, and she can just go in that. And she is so good at that, that she can distract defenses, right? She knows how to open up an offense, and that defenses will collapse on her, but that'll make her teammate open, right? And she still has that court vision that's, you know, really high IQ, really IQ heavy and really quick, that she knows who's open when and how to thread the pass and how to, you know, move the defense so they're away so she can drive in. She opens up the offense, but she also just allows everybody to get involved. And she's really good at that. You know, she's also learned how to take more shots. Mm-hmm. I think that was during her freshman year, she was really pass heavy, right? Pass first. Yeah. And she wanted to get everybody involved. And now she's learned that because of necessity, she needs to shoot more. And she's been successful shooting more. I don't have her shooting splits in front of me, but she's been super efficient from the two, from the three, and even from the three throw line, that just, like, you know, she's learning that she can take over a game, and that's okay.
And with her moving away from the point guard position, that kind of opened the door for the emergence of Nico Mule, and she's approaching the all-time assist record at UConn, and she was just named to that AP All-American team as well, as an honorable mention. So we know what she brings on the offensive side of the floor in terms of setting up the offense and initiating things and even shooting 41% from three. But talk about what she brings on the defensive end of the floor as well.
Yeah, Nika Mule is probably their most fearsome defender. You know, I don't know if you watched her, but if you watch her on defense, you look into her eyes, they're mean, right? It's a mean, scary stare. And she's a two-time Big East Defensive Player of the Year, and she just knows how to annoy an opponent. She knows how to frustrate them, get in their face, whether it's, you know, with her look or maybe with her hands and throwing them in their faces. You know, she knows how to poke loose a ball and run it down court, and she's fast as she can do that. She is, you know, she kind of sets the tone for them. And when she's not setting that tone, the defense kind of collapses. We saw in that Notre Dame game earlier this year where, like, Nika Mule fouled out. And because of that, you know, UConn's defense really couldn't we couldn't find a groove, right? They didn't have that anchor like her, as she is. So she is, you know, even though she's smaller, she's the number one defender just in terms of her aggression, in terms of her just her head on a swivel, constantly watching the ball, watching who's moving. And like you said, she's turned into a quite remarkable point guard, but it's also a very strong defender as well.
Now, tell us about this four-guard lineup with Becker, Mule, KK Arnold, and Ashlyn Shea that Coach Auriemma turned to early in the season. I think the win streak kind of coincided with that lineup change, and that's when things really took off for them.
Yeah, and again, that's kind of out of necessity, right? You know, they didn't have any other forwards to jump in, and he played around in the lineup a lot in a little bit. He had Ice Brady start against Texas, which is a much bigger team than UConn is. He had Abby Griffin, who's also a forward, come in a little bit before she got injured. But that four-guard lineup really started to click a little bit. I think it helps that, yes, Paige Beckers is a previous point guard, but so is KK Arnold's a point guard too, right? And so it was the ability that they have three really good ball handlers with Nika Mule, KK, and Paige, that they have room to throw different options out there, right? If Paige isn't open, they know they can go to Ashlyn, or they know they can go to Aaliyah down low. They know that Nika knows how to, you know, make everybody involved, spreading everybody out. And so I think that that's really helped them find an identity, is that they know each other's strengths and they know that this is what they have and this is what they have to use. So they don't have any other option.
And the lone big in that lineup, you mentioned her already, Aaliyah Edwards, who was also just named to that AP All-American team as an honorable mention. But what all is asked of her as the only big on the floor? I mean, was there more of an expectation placed on her for rebounding, protecting the paint, things like that? Because it doesn't look like her scoring suffered at all.
Yeah, I mean, she probably carries one of the heaviest loads on this team, right? Because she is the biggest and because she is the lone experienced forward. You know, she had a really phenomenal breakout year last year where she earned 13 All-American honors. And she's just elevated even more. I think the fact that she now can work with Paige, her and Paige know how to play off each other. They know if one of them gets double teamed, the other one will be open. Aaliyah has really expanded her game too, where she's not just in the post. She can get a little outside of that jumper. She can, you know, move a defense away from her. She can find a different teammate to pass to. She can be really good on her, on her spins outward, and she's just gotten really strong too. And you can tell that her confidence has skyrocketed. Her consistency has been a lot better. That was kind of the main thing she struggled with as an underclassman. And maybe now, because it's obviously maybe one of the reasons, because she has so much more responsibility, a bigger role, she knows that she has to be good every single night. And she's been great every single night because of that growth of consistency.
Looking at this lineup, I see an interesting mix of experience and inexperience. I think there's four players who will be making their NCAA tournament debut on Saturday. So talk about those players, how they fared in the Big East tournament, and their readiness for the bright lights.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Half of UConn's roster will be making their NCAA tournament debut, and three of them are starting. And I don't think that's what Gino had in mind back in June.
Right.
Two that are starting now, since Aaliyah Edwards will likely return and be in the starting lineup again, are KK and Ashlyn, and they have really risen up. They have become, you know, good playmakers, good scorers, good shooters, because they've needed to, right? Gino had no other option. And both of them are very good on their feet. They're both really good defenders. And that makes UConn a little bit more well-rounded on both sides of the ball. You have then Ice Brady, who is a redshirt freshman, who her freshman year last year, she sat out because of a knee injury. And now she's making her debut. And she's kind of had a rocky season, but she came up huge in the Big East tournament. Aaliyah Edwards went down with a broken nose, and there was no other forward but Ice Brady. And so she went in and she played back-to-back 40-minute games and was incredible. I mean, she didn't need a break. She was communicative. You could hear her voice only most of the time. She's also pretty big. She just looks confident now, whether that's because she knew there was no one else coming in for her or whether that she knew her team needed her. She was named to the all-tournament team. I think she almost had a double-double. She was a couple rebounds shy of a double-double in the championship game, I'm pretty sure. But she's really come up big during this portion of the season, but they need her. And I'd be very curious to see how she continues on that streak. And if she brings that up and continues that in the NCAA tournament, if she elevates that. And then the other true freshman is Caden Samuels, who's usually one of the first two off the bench, depending on where Nice goes. And Caden Samuels, again, opens up the offense. Really good three-point shooter. Very fearless player, which is great as a freshman. You don't see her get rocked too easily. And she's just very good about her length and reaching in when she needs to reach in, and also, you know, having that defensive mindset as well.
And talk a little bit about the GOAT himself, Gino. I don't think he, I mean, what he's done this season, I don't think a lot of people are talking about it. I don't know if it's just expected of him to, you know, keep the train rolling no matter what, but to lose those many players. And then Aaliyah Edwards in the Big East tournament and still win the tournament. So just talk about the job that he's done. And it seems like he never breaks a sweat, you know, the same cool, calm, and collected. Like, you wouldn't know that he's down half his roster if you hear him in the press conferences and things like that. So how's he been able to have so much success with this roster?
Yeah, and I think it's even more than just the season, right? It's the past 2 years where he's really, I mean, what, 2 years ago when all this injury stuff started, the team still made the national championship game. And that's pretty remarkable. Yes, last year it lost in the Sweet 16, and that was a historic upset. But the fact they've won the Big East 4 years in a row, including three of the which they were just dismantled by injuries. And so it's just it's impressive that he's been able to bring the best out of his players when it's mattered most. And I think that he's always done that. I think that's not just special this year, but I think it resonates a little bit more this year because his players are being asked to do so much more. The ones who are healthy, the ones, even for the injured players, you know, I'm sure he's talking to them as well, like, you know, being present with the team and getting them involved, however it may be. And you can tell that the kids just really buy into him, right? And they know that he is going to be hard on them. He's going to yell at them. He's going to challenge them. But he doesn't recruit players that can't rise up to that challenge. Like, that's why they go to UConn. They go to UConn to be challenged, to be in tough situations, to grow through hard situations. And that's what they're doing. He was named Big East Coach of the Year this year because of just, you know, again, third straight year, he's had to deal with injuries and players being out of the lineup because of injuries. But he's, you know, he's coached All-Americans through all this. He's gotten his players to really realize that, like, yes, it sucks that the people are out, but they're playing for those people, right? They're playing for the team. They're playing for the people who can't play. And when you have someone like Paige who has been in their shoes, I think it's really easy to, like, play with her and through her as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Maggie, looking at your resume, very impressive background covering sports. From Seattle, the Seattle Times, the OC Register, where you cover UCLA. But I have a question for you. You've never been a coach, right?
I've never been a coach, no.
Okay, so guess what? Sorry to do this, but I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you to be a coach for just a quick second, okay?
Okay.
All right, so you are, congratulations, you are the head coach of Jackson State University, the Lady Tigers basketball team. You're getting ready to play UConn in the tournament. You've watched film. You've scouted the Huskies. Where do you think you can attack them? What area do you think is that weak spot where you can maybe take advantage and find some success?
Yeah. Wow, got on your job. That was quick. I think, you know, it's going to be a very interesting matchup. Jackson State, they played 13 players in their SWAC championship game. They nearly almost double of what UConn has available. Yeah. So they have depth. They have size of Angel, right? She's huge. She's great. She's just, one of the top blockers in the nation. Jackson State's defense is one of the best in the nation, just under South Carolina's in terms of field goal percent defense. So I think defense and just size and depth will be the two main components that Jackson State has that advantage of over UConn. UConn's also a very good defensive team. So it'd be very interesting to see how the two defenses can limit each other and how, if anyone can get through and what that looks like, what holes they can make. But I would say defense and definitely the depth and size of Jackson State, because UConn's margin of error is very slim and they can't afford foul trouble to anybody.
Wow. Great job, Coach Fanoni. Congratulations.
Thank you.
But one thing that stands out is that Mule, she has struggled with turnovers this season, especially in some of those bigger games. What do you think is attributing to that? Are these turnovers, are a lot of them unforced, or are teams purposely kind of turning up the pressure on her?
Yeah, I would say it's probably a little bit of both. You know, Nika will be the first to admit that she plays quickly and that she plays a little stubbornly. And sometimes, you know, the pass doesn't go where she wants it to go. Or sometimes, you know, she's seeing things that's not quite right. And she's admitted to that. And she's admitted to, you know, that's one of her biggest strengths, but also one of her biggest weaknesses. I think also defenses know how she's played, right? She played the whole entire year last year. They saw her last year as the starting point guard. She's still the starting point guard this year. And bringing up the Notre Dame game again, you know, she had three fouls before halftime, and she fouled out, I think, minutes into the fourth quarter, if I remember correctly. And UConn fell apart. UConn's defense fell apart. They didn't have an extra body on offense to distribute the ball, and that really hurt them. And so I think defenses know that, you know, they can speed her up too much, all right? Or they can find out when she'll miss up the dribble and snatch from her and run down on the other end. So I think but she also plays with a different heart during the NCAA tournament too, because she knows this is her last year at UConn, her last year in college. So I would expect that she plays even harder this NCAA tournament as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so tell us about the game day atmosphere. We've all seen it on TV, but some of our fans will get a chance to experience it in person this Saturday. So what can we expect inside that arena?
Yeah, I think Gamble's an incredible game day environment. It is a historic and epic arena. It is just, whether it's the dome-shaped roof, whether it's all the banners and the historic jersey numbers, the court, there's just something kind of special about it when you walk in. And I think that it's, you know, a great place for anybody to play. I think especially when it comes to big games like this, when you can feel the fans and you can feel the screams and the yells, it's very intimate. I remember a couple years ago when UConn hosted a second round game against UCF. It was jam-packed. It was the largest student crowd in history of the UConn, and it was just, you couldn't think. It was so loud. The Wi-Fi shut down. You couldn't talk to the person sitting next to you. So it gets loud, and it gets crazy.
We're looking forward to it. One common opponent for both teams, St. John's. I know Jackson State got the win. Definitely something we can hang our hats on and give us some confidence, optimism heading to the game against UConn. Last thing, go to place to grab something to eat, shop, or just be a tourist while we're up there.
Ooh, well, I'm not a Connecticut native, but Connecticut boasts the best pizza, according to Connecticut natives, in the world. It's obviously in New Haven, so it's a little out of the way of stores. But if you have free time, I recommend going to New Haven. It's about 15-minute drive from stores, but stores does have Pepe's, which is one of the New Haven chains that's around stores that has great pizza. There is good Italian food in Connecticut. There's good Thai food in Connecticut. Walking around campus is really pretty as well.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, again, we appreciate your time. We're not going to hold you any longer. We know you're busy. We see you pumping out articles, seems like, every few minutes. So I let our fans know where they can find you on social media, on X, if they want to read some of your work.
My Twitter is @Maggie-Spinoni, and I pretty much post, like you said, pretty much every day, whether it's a story or a tweet or some news, so that's where I'm at.
Awesome stuff. Well, keep up the great job, and we'll see you on Saturday, 12 o'clock Central, 1 o'clock Eastern, and the game will always also be on ABC.
Yep.
All right. Take care. Be safe.
Thank you.
Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club is presented by Bet Online.